Welcome back to the Rebirth of Life in Love. It's Felicia here. I got Rome here as well. And this is episode 20 and we're keeping it short and sweet. We are going to just dive into some topics and things we see on IG, on social media. We love to kind of dive deeper into different posts we see and then compare and give a little bit insight of our perspective. So let's get right into it.
Okay, y'all. You know, we see stuff on the gram and everywhere. Speaking of feeling loved. So I was scrolling on my timeline and I saw this woman giving her husband like a full on facial. And I like to do the whole comment watching. I go read the comments and the comments were just coming for them. Like
there's a lot of, there's so many people who are hurt and like negative out there. I know a lot of it is to be funny. Like social media is all about jokes because mm-hmm. then if you get jokes and then you see all your comments on your post, then you feel better about yourself. There's a lot of miserable people out there. Go ahead.
Dang.
Go ahead. Cook on them comments.
I was trying to. And then you took it.
There was one I was thinking of specifically that you shared that that we can't share on here. About what they said about that man.
Oh,
but like keep going.
Oh yeah, we're not gonna go all the way comment for comment. But it was like that is the way that this couple shows love. Like this is how she gets him ready for the day, gets him ready for work.
We showed this, remember? We showed this on a previous episode. She's the one that does the facial for her husband before the week starts to get him ready for the next week.
Yes, I don't think we showed it, but we talked about it. Yeah. And I just kept thinking like there were so many comments, but why? Like, why can't this be how these two show love? And I love how confident they are and they continue to make the post and that's their thing. And I just feel like let's honor relationships being unique and relationships being their own thing. Like if every relationship looks the same, it's a duplicate of each other. It's just like, what are we doing? And I saw another post about longevity that I want to dive into because it talked about glorifying longevity as like the pedestal of what a good relationship is.
Which is crazy to me because like right away, we already know that people stay in relationships because they don't know how to leave. And we also know that relationships have longevity because there's usually one delusional partner who is sitting there dealing with all the toxicness when that other partner gave them every reason and every excuse to go, but you know, I'm just minding my business.
Cook, unless you cook.
All right, I'm gonna keep cooking since the stove is on. Okay. Longevity to me, because this dates back, everybody, again, I hate coming for people's grandparents, I do, but everybody wants the relationship like the grandparents, because they'll be like, married 50 years, mm-hmm. married 40 years, but they didn't tell you how like, in year five, grandpa slapped the mess out of grandma, and they didn't tell you how grandpa had a whole other family, but yet, like, grandma didn't have the tools or the education to leave because all the kids, she stayed for the kids.
Right.
And so then you would look back, and it's just like, oh, that happened 40 years ago, but it's like, that man don't even like you. He just sit there, and now you too old to leave. And so I feel like, again, this is my pessimistic mind.
Yes.
This is my pessimistic mind, but some of it is just, you know, let's just say, I don't want to say it's lived experience because that's not right, but I want to say like, it's anecdotal stuff that you see out there and mm-hmm. everybody knows how it was. Like you can just read a book and you know what was happening before smartphones. You know what was happening when you always hear these stories of someone passing away and all these other people come to the funeral and they're like, wait, who is them? And they're like, wait, that was my that's your daddy too? Like nobody talks about that. It's just interesting. Again, it's like the whole mind your business so no one says anything, but just because that longevity is there doesn't mean that was a successful relationship.
Ooh, that's it. Well, and so this is from the holistic psychologist. She says how long people are together says nothing about the health of the relationship.
Let me get an air horn. Hold on.
And I saw that and I said, ooh, I gotta click through this. Cause it's so true. Like Rome said, you see, I've been together 40 years, I've been together 50 years, and you think, oh, they're so happy. Oh, that's a great relationship. And she dives deeper and saying some people who can't stand to be in the same room spend decades together.
Mm. I'm gonna just keep my hand next to this air horn so I can
some
keep hitting it.
Some live double lives. Some people haven't had a call. Some couples haven't had a real conversation in 20 years.
And you know why? It's because Mario Wayans said, "I don't want to know," and now nobody want to know.
So don't idealize longevity. Longevity does not tell the whole story. And that is the truth right there. Because our whole story is not based off we've been together 7 years. What has happened in those years.
Been married 7 years.
Huh?
Married.
Married, correct.
Been together for 13.
Yes, married. I'm talking about married. And she says idealized relationships where you see mutual respect, admiration, and underneath it all, true friendship. And I feel like the friendship part has been key for us because not saying we started off just as friends or anything. Like the moment we started talking, there was like the thought that it's just going to be way more than just being friends. But there was a connection where it wasn't based off of just looks and sex. You know, it was deeper than that. Love the word sex. Okay. And then she says, idealized relationships where you see people committed to supporting the best versions of each other. Do you agree with that?
I mean, that's it. Like, that's the... I mean, it's not even agreeing. Like, that's the recipe.
Right? Idealized relationships where people have hit rock bottom, then talked it out, repaired, and rebuilt a relationship of trust.
That sounds like rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like... the difference from what I said and what Felicia's reading is a matter of doing the work to rectify the situation or whatever. Like, again, let's just keep with the example since I already put it out there and said it. You know, something happens, some verbal abuse, some physical abuse happens early on. And then you just have someone just sitting there bitter, not having a conversation or some trauma happened early on. And nobody has the conversation, but then the two people are willing to come together and work it out. That's different than just being there and dealing with it and just kind of brushing it under the rug.
Right. And it's like the repaired part, like being, I think sometimes we see relationships go through hard times and think, ooh, they're not going to make it. Ooh, that doesn't look like they're connected as well as they should be. When hard times are meant to happen, like if you think you're gonna go through 30, 40 years of marriage, whatever it might be, and not have a tough time, then you've got something coming for you. Like when it hits you, you're gonna be like...
What's nasty is like, you should probably have a hard time a few times a year. Like if you don't, like it's kind of like, why hasn't something happened? Because like, I'm a master reader of body language and vibes. And it's just like, I know they got on your nerves, but you're just not like, I can see the person is on your nerves and you are just like sitting there with it, but like, don't want to bring anything up. So it's interesting. I'm curious. Y'all leave a comment. Do you find yourself having, let's just call them, disagreements with your partner more than once in a year? Or is it less? I'm really curious.
I think it's
I would have to say they say yes, but like
they would say once a month.
I don't want to say. Well, yeah, like to be honest, a monthly disagreement I feel like is very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If you've had 365 disagreements, sis, ooh, bruh, they
run.
Yeah,
run.
You got to figure that out. But once a month, I feel like is typical, especially if you have kids with all the stuff going on. Like,
yes,
there's going to be at least once a month where somebody says something or doesn't support or whatever. That should be taken with grace.
Yes. That was one of my things. I said, let's have grace with each other when it comes to mistakes, mishaps, shortcomings. Grace is so key in a time where there's so much pressure to be perfect, to say the right thing, to, be there for your kids, to be there for yourself. Like there's so many things that we're both juggling and grace is needed because no one is perfect. There will be miscommunication. There will be mishaps, a lot of different things. And as we talked about, it's always about like fighting right, you know, is like, how can we talk through this and think about the end result and repair versus it becoming so toxic that it just keeps happening over and over and over. Because 365 days, like, it's not healthy for yourself, for your mind, for your body. Like, that is, like, so negative. And it almost, you start to get used to it. I feel like if you've been arguing with someone for that long and that often, maybe it becomes your norm,
though. Well, that's the thing. Like, what they say, it only takes like 33 days to form a habit or something like that. If it's happening so often and mm-hmm. then it just becomes something that you put off so often. Now, them bickering and you just being standoffish and not addressing it is now the new norm. Mm-hmm. And that's what the level of expectation is now. It's just like, oh, they gonna get upset. Like, oh, they're gonna be on my head about this. Oh, they're gonna, you know, start fussing about this, all that stuff like that.
Okay, I feel like she shared a few things we should analyze. Do you have anything extra to add? Like, what is a relationship you see that you idolize in, like, the traits from it, not so much the people? It could be, okay,
the strength of Gabby and Dwayne. Because of all the stuff they have to deal with externally, with people just offering their opinion about Zaya and how D-Wade still continues to still be him and still be the supportive parent, because a lot of people are using that to attack him as a man. Literally talking about he's less than a man, like just some of those, you know, feminine men thing that they try to say all over online and all that stuff like that, trying to apply to him. And the fact that, you know, yeah, I think they're a black couple that's still in the spotlight, that are still doing things that still garner quite a lot of attention. And so the attention is where the trolls seek and try to seep in. So I would say their strength. And I'll let you say one.
Yeah, no, I think that was a good one. Because I like how authentic they are to themselves. And they share their stories. And they also share, like, their mindset and their philosophy on their relationship.
Splitting the bills, right?
Yeah, exactly. They've said some controversy things that they know when they say it's going to be controversial. But they still stick with it. They're like, I don't care how this is going to be received. This works for us. And I like that, because I feel like we're the same way of, like, this is what works for our relationship. No one can be Rome. No one can be me. So you will never know how what we do will apply to your life. It might not work for you because you're not in the same situation as us. You know, you're not a medical parent. You don't have two kids. You don't have, you know, there's a lot of things that we have in our story that don't apply to others. And so I love how they stand on business, I guess I should say, when it comes to, like, their life and their relationship. And I like that they're very their own person. Like, you know Gabby as Gabby Union. You know D-Wade is him. They have their own profession. They're both good at it. But they also come together to be this powerful couple. And they have a business together. Ooh, they're like a couple. I think they're kind of like us.
Yeah.
That was a good example.
I had a few more, but they're the top example.
Well, who else you got?
I was going to say the passion of Quentin Spivey and Shelby.
We just got done watching The Best Man, the series.
I was going to say the grind of Harper and Robin Stewart.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they each are entrepreneurial, and Harper's doing, you know, his writer thing, and Robin with the restaurants and wants to get back to the community.
They definitely have
and
passion.
Advocacy.
Okay, we have to, like, take these different relationships and create us. So it's the passion of, there could be fake ones, so too, fictional, non-fictional.
We're going to build your man, woman relationship.
Your marriage.
Build your relationship. Yeah. Doesn't matter, man, woman, they.
Okay, so we got the... We'll use
the heart. We'll use the heart and the mind of Dwayne and Gabby.
Okay. And then the passion of Harper and Robin from Best Man.
I would say the passion of Shelby and Quentin.
Oh, and Quentin?
For me.
Okay.
Because they already both have money, and they are just, like, passionately, like, outwardly loving on each other.
Okay.
Very
affectionate.
Well, behind the closed doors,
because
they're very They like cheeks. I'll just put it to you like that.
I can't.
I don't use the S word. It's cheeks for me. But Harper and Robin, passion, because they're so passionate in their career. They're still trying to like build like this and trying to, well, they're both building like this. They're trying to figure out how to come together building like this. I think Quentin and Shelby already have what Harper and Robin are trying to achieve.
Okay. And then I don't know if you know, I think it's DeVal and Kadeem. They're a couple that,
Men?
No, they're, it's a man and woman.
Which one's the
woman? DeVal?
DeVal.
He's on Sistas.
Which one?
He's Zach.
Oh, yeah.
He's Zach on Sistas, but I'm talking about his real relationship, his real marriage. They've got 4 kids. They've got a podcast. He's doing his thing, and he's always showing her so much love and really honoring, like, the things she wants to do because she spent so many years, like, having kids. And he's so happy for her to be in her season. She's always been supporting him. But they also have like a book they do that they have on relationships and their own podcast called Deadass. And so I love that they've got this great mix of family life, business, and like love. And so I want to take that like that lifestyle, that balance of grind that they have would also be something that I want in our relationship.
You're gonna think it's funny because I think it's funny in my head.
Okay.
So with that, so what are you using for them? Like,
what's the recipe or what they added, the ingredient they're adding?
Yeah.
I guess the business grind or like the balance.
Okay.
The family life balance, the family work life balance. Ooh,
okay, the mind doesn't make sense then.
Okay.
I was gonna say the whatever that is of Ghost and Angela, because.
No, your listen, power, guys.
Again, okay. It's funny, but like I'm saying with Ghost, because Ghost like passionately loves this woman and she passionately loves him, that she's clearly breaking the law.
You see, that's a lot of love. That's some unethical love, though. They don't have, there's no rules. Well,
she's a ride or die, and then she died.
She sure did die.
Dang, that's crazy.
Dang, she died for riding.
Yeah, she died for riding.
I'm not using them as an example. All right, because
erase the Ghost and Angela.
You would. Ooh, who else? I think we've got a good
Quincy
mix.
And Monica, because now I'm basically, me getting laid off is like me getting a torn ACL and I'm out of plan, and now we're at the WNBA games watching you cook.
That's a good example.
Yeah, and we had a little girl that... We're like, oh, there's mommy going to work.
I think we've got our couples. I think we've got like a good, we got Quincy and Monica, DeVal and Kadeem. We've got, you got a bunch of like movie stars.
Yeah, minor movie. Because like, again, I think.
I like Gabby.
No one tops D-Wade and Gabby for me personally. It's like, you could talk about LeBron and Savannah, but like Savannah's not really.
She's just now coming out of her shell, it seems like.
And like the Carters, like I know a lot of people run to the Carters, but like it's not that I'm not saying I'm not a fan. I just don't know, like I don't resonate enough with their relationship. Mm-hmm. Who else would I have said?
But to add to that, I think we don't resonate with them because there's this whole private versus sharing.
Yeah.
And Gabby and D-Wade, they share their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we do. I mean, we have a podcast talking about things in life and our relationship. We share it on YouTube, on Instagram. And so we're sharers. We're definitely ones that we don't feel like there's enough couples that look like us that are relatable. So we share our lives to be able to build a community.
Yep.
And we've been able to see people say, you've helped me through this, or seen how you and Rome worked through that situation. I was in a tough time with my husband or my partner during that same season. It was good to see you guys come out of it. Like, we're sharers because we want to help the world in that way.
Yeah.
And so Beyonce and Jay-Z are very private because I get it. Who they are, they have to guard their relationship because there's a lot of people trying to infiltrate the relationship.
That's why TMZ rushed to put out that elevator footage.
Right? But like, that's not us.
No,
I think that's why. Yeah,
I really think that is the pinnacle. I wish like one day I could like like meet D Wade and just talk to him about fatherhood, because I said all the time, I'm like, that's my fatherhood standard. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you talk about stand on business. This man is like, he's present in all of his kids' lives, all of them. And he, you know, he's a huge advocate. And I think just from parents of a child that was born with facial differences that has a rare genetic syndrome, and to remember the comments and the people, you know, trying to do jokes and laugh and all that stuff like that. It's just like, we are very much putting that umbrella up around her, just mm-hmm. like they did Zaya, and empowered Zaya to be who she is. And we are empowering Callie to be who she is, regardless of what, you know, they say she's delayed in or not delayed in or whatever. So,
and the fact that you just said that, I feel like God doesn't make mistakes, and he gives children, they always say gives children like to the strongest parents or whatever it might be. But I think it's a little bit deeper, as far as like, he knows the personality. He knows how certain people are built to be able to handle a situation. So D Wade, and how he just does not give a F, how he stands and who he is the perfect dad for Zaya. Mm-hmm. She needs that type of love and that type of protection from a father figure. Callie, someone born with a facial difference and the medical things we go through, she needed a dad the same way, that stands on business, that could care less about what other people think about him.
And goes through his own medical trials.
Exactly. That
to help her navigate.
Exactly. Please steal the words right out of my mouth. That's how Rob is. You try to give him a compliment and he's going to just jump right in.
That wasn't even a compliment, though. Well, you were just speaking facts.
Yeah, it is facts. Yeah, exactly. So I just, it's like, they both have the perfect dads to help them thrive and be confident in who they are, because their dads are like that. And I think that young girls need that. They get a lot of their love and self-confidence from their fathers.
All of it. It's not even a lot. The studies say that girls, I forgot what it was, because I was looking it up because I was going to make a post about this.
Ooh.
Girls.
I'll be looking up stuff, y'all.
Girls' first love, their self-worth, their law of attraction, their, I forgot the other one. There was one more. All learned from their father.
Ooh.
And little boys, it's different. Little boys learn all of that stuff from their mother. Now, you know, like everybody knows, they get older, there's a switch, but the girl mm-hmm. still holds the dad in such high priority. There's a lot of girls, you know, girl dad is a thing for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, girls want to be, and usually, I feel like a lot of the time, it's the girl that's interested in all the stuff that the dad's interested in.
I can see that.
Golf.
That's me. As he drops an activity my dad likes to do. Yes, that's definitely me.
Fussing.
You know we like to have fun over here on the Rebirth of Life and Love podcast. So if you're watching, which you should be on YouTube, leave a comment below and let me know what your celebrity relationship. It could even be like influencers that you feel like you compare yourself to, that you admire. I want to hear some more examples. And we'll be back with another short and sweet episode, little mini episode next week. Make sure you are subscribed and you are following us on our personal handles, Felicia Levin, Rome Johns as well. As our podcast IG channel, or page, I should say, RL Podcast. All right, we'll see you next week.